We begin the current daf of Pesachim daf Kuf Yud Tes. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues quoting different halachas and ideas from Rabbi Shmuel Ber Yosi. So the Gemara begins. Amar v'kahana mishum Rabbi Shmuel Ber Yosi. Ma'idav siv, what does this mean when it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Lamanatzeach Mizmer L'David? And that is, as Rashbam explains, the term Lamanatzeach sounds like that causative, that is causing someone else to be a noitzeach, because it should have said, if it's a reference to Hashem, that Hashem is the noitzeach, the one that wins, the one that vanquishes, it should have said la noitzeach. However, here that it says la minatzeach, it sounds like that he causes other people to be the ones that win. That is the song of David. What does that mean? So now the Gemara says, zamru lami shenoitzchen oisai, sing a song to the one that they win over him, v'samech, and that he's happy, and that is boi re'ei, come and see. Shleike midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas b'as avodam. The type of characteristic that is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the same as by flesh and blood, because b'as avodam minatzcha noisev atzim. By a flesh and blood, by a human being, when someone wins him over, so then he's sad, he's depressed. Av HaKadosh Baruch Hu noitzcha noisev v'sameach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy, rejoices when he has other people win over him. Like it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem said he's destroying the Jewish people. Lulei Moshe Bechirai, if not for his chosen one Moshe that Amad Beperetz Lavanim, that stood in front of the breach, in front of Hashem. Now, from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Moshe Beinu Bechira, his chosen one, and that's because he stood in front of the breach in front of him, so it sounds like that he's praising him. It sounds like that he's happy that Moshe Beinu did that. So Moshe Beinu was menatzeach over HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem was happy about that, and he was calling him his chosen one. So we see that that's what the Pasuk is saying, La menatzeach, he causeth others to be menatzeach, and he's happy with that. That's a mizmor l'David. Another idea from Rav Shimon ben Yosi. Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Shimon ben Shmuel ben Yosi. And some say there's a girsa that the Rabbanan Amri. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Nesiyah. Ma'adrach said, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, where it says, Videi Adam, and the hands of man, mitachas kanfeim, were under the wings of the holy chayis, of these angels. So on that the Gemara says, Yodik Siv, although it's pronounced Videi, but it's written in the singular, Yodai, his hand. On that, Ze Yodai Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a reference to the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheprusa tachas kanfei chayis, that's stretched out under the wings of the chayis, so to speak, covert, like hidden, to accept those who are repentant from the hands of the measurement of justice that they're prosecuting, they're saying that you can't accept them, and hiddenly, clandestinely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his hand under the wings of the Chayis, and that's how he accepts the Bali Tshuva. Now the Gemara returns to the discussion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the subject of the Seder night. Amar Mehuda Mashmul, Kol Kesev Ezov Sheba Olam, all gold and silver in the world, Yosef locked the Vavilim Mitzrayim. Yosef gathered during the years of the famine and in the entire world, and they brought it all to Egypt. Shem, like it says in Pasuk in Bereishis, Vayelaked Yosef as Kalakesav Anetza. Yosef gathered all the money that was found in the world. Now, Ein Li Ela Sheba Eretz Mitzrayim Veshev Eretz Kanan. I would only know from the Pesukim that it's from the land of Egypt and from Eretz Kanan, as we find that the Shvatim had to come down from Eretz Yisrael. B'sharot Zemina. How do we know there's all the lands in the world? Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk says, V'chola Aretz Boi Mitzrayim, the entire land, all the world, came to Egypt. Now, K'sha'alu Yisrael Mitzrayim, hello, Iman, when the Jewish people went up and left from Egypt, they took all that money with them. Shem, like it says in Pasuk, V'yinatzlu Es Mitzrayim, they emptied out, they liquidated the entire Egypt. Now, there's two interpretations of what that means. Rav Asi Amar, he says, Asua Kimitsuda Zu She'en Badog, and that the Jewish people made Egypt like a trap that has no grain, which, as Rashbam explains, that the custom was to put grain into the trap to be able to ensnare the birds. Now, when there's no grain, there's no birds that are coming. That's what Egypt was. There was nothing there. No one was coming there. Now, as Taisus says, that the word vayinatzlu could be read vayinatzdu, which is this trap, because many times a lamed could be changed with a dalet, as many times we find that. So that's where we get the term mitsuda. So it was like a trap, but without any grain. Shimon Amar, he says, Kimitsula, which is the word in the Pasuk of Ayinatzlu, like the depth, She'en Badagim, in the depth of the sea, there's no fish down there. That's what Egypt was like. There was no fish. There was nothing left because the Jewish people took everything. Now, so all this money that was gathered from the entire world that came down to Egypt that the Jewish people took out was by the Jewish people, V'hayimunach ad Rechavim, and was by the Jewish people until the times of Rechavim. However, Bosh Shishak Melech Mitzrayim, Shishak, the king of Egypt, came v'natlu merchavim, and he took it from merchavim. Shnema, like it says a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, v'hi b'shona hachamishis lemelech rechavim, that was in the fifth year of the kingdom of rechavim, ala Shishak Melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim, that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came upon Jerusalem, v'ikaches oitzres beis Hashem, that he took the storehouses of the house of Hashem, v'es oitzres beis Hamelech, and the storehouses of the king, of the house of the king. So that was taken away now back to Egypt. Then the story continues, Bozarach Melech Kush v'natlei Mishishak. And this is not from the court, from the Pasuk, but then Zarach, the king of Kush, came and he took it from Shishak. Bo'asa v'natlua mizarach Melech Kush. And then Asa, who is the king of Judea, of Yehuda, he came and he took it from Zarach, the king of Kush. V'shigri, but then he sent it lahadrimad ben Tevrimen. He went and he sent it to the king of Aram, who he wanted to help him to fight the war against Baasha, who was the king of Yisrael, of the rest of the Shvatim, which was there with the split amongst Melch Yehuda and Melch Yisrael. And these are all Psukim and Divrei Hayyam. Then Bo b'nei Amon v'natlu mehadrimi ben Tavrimen. Then the people of Amon, they came and they took it from Hadrimi ben Tavrimen, which is a tradition that we have. Bo Yehoshaphat v'natlu b'nei Amon. Then Yehoshaphat came and he went and he took it from the people of Amon. And that is the war of Yehoshaphat from the Jewish people with the Amonim, our Pesukim. And this, that they had a war, how do we know that they took all their treasures? It's because, as Rashbam explains, that the ways of the war of the previous generations, that they used to take all their treasures with them into the war so that they should be all in, so to speak, in the war and not to run away and escape because they have all their treasures over there. And therefore, when they were vanquished and they were won over, so then all their money was taken by the captors. So Yehoshaphat, that won the war against them, took all the treasures. And it was again by the Jewish people up until the times of Achaz. However, Sancheiriv came and they took it from Achaz. And that was the war of Sancheiriv and Achaz, that's Pesukim. Then Chizkiah, again the Jewish people went and took it back from Sancheiriv. That's when the Malach came and destroyed the entire camp of Sancheiriv. So Chizkiah took back the spoils. And it was again by the Jewish people up until Tzidkiah. Then the Kazdim came and they took it from Tzidkiah again, which is Pesukim, that they went and they captured Tzidkiah. Then the Persians came and they took it from the Kazdim, and that's because the Persians went and took over the kingship of the Kazdim, as the Pasuk of Daniel, Parakei, says, that it was given over to Modei and Paras. But then Bo Yuvanim and Luma Persim. Then the Greeks came, and the Greeks took it from the Persians, which this is explicitly in Sefer Yosefin and Josephus. Then Bo Ramiyim v'natlu miyad Yuvan. Then the Romans came and they took it from the Greeks, which is also mentioned in Josephus, and it's also mentioned in the first parak in Masechtas Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara concludes v'adayin munach b'Rami. And the spoils of these, all these monies from the earlier times of the world, which was then brought to Egypt and went through all these different hands, are still in the hands of Rome. It's still by the Romans. Amram Cham Merchanina, related to what we spoke about before, that Yosef gathered all the money of the world to Egypt. Shalosh Matmonias Hitman Yosef b'Mitzrayim. So besides the money that was there, there were three treasures that were hidden by Yosef in Egypt. Achas Niskala LeKarach. One of them was revealed to Karach, as the Gemara will momentarily demonstrate how wealthy he was. Achas Niskala LeAntoninus Ben Asverus. One was revealed to Antoninus, the son of Asverus. The achas genuzel tzaddikim laslavei. One of them is hidden away for the righteous in the world to come. Now, related to this, that we said that one of them was revealed to Karach, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Kehelas. Oishir shamru labayil of laraasei. The wealth is safeguarded for its owner for his wickedness, for bad. That Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish zu asher shel Karach. This is a reference to the wealth of Karach, that because he had so much money, he became balgaiva, became haughty, and he was just taken away and chased out of this world. Like it says in the Pasuk, says Ves Kol Hayukum Asher Bereglayim, where the Pasuk over there in Devarim, Perek Yudalef, Pasuk Vav, says that the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them up, their houses, their tents, and it says Ves Kol Hayukum, and all the wealth Asher Bereglayim that's by their feet. Now, what does that mean? Omer Belaza, why is wealth a reference that's by their feet? Because Zememoyne Shaladim, it's a reference to a person's money, Shememidi Al Raglo, that puts him, like the phrase of like you're putting him on his feet, and it supports him to stand on his feet. That's a person's money. That was all swallowed up. And this was a cause because of the wealth that Karach had. So related, Amar Levi says, Masay Shalosh Meis Predis Levanis. There were 300 white mules, which Rashbam says is not necessarily, it's a guzma, it's that in Shas many times they mention the term 300, it just means that there was a lot of, that a load of 300 white mules, that was just to carry the keys of the storehouses of Korach, and Vekulu, and all these were aklidi, there were keys, Veklipe, and they were locks, the gilda, and they were just made out of leather, and still, leather is not that heavy, still they needed to have 300 mules carrying just the keys and the locks of leather. One could imagine the storehouses that these keys carried, how wealthy Korach was. Now the Gemara resumes discussing what was discussed in the previous daf, the psukim of Hal. So, and that's in Perek Kufiyut Ches, which we're discussing, which is mentioned towards the latter part of what we say a Hal on, Rish Chaydish and Yom Tevim and Chanukah. So the Gemara brings Diash, Adish, Kashtach, M'oitcha, Simen. This is mnemonic for the names of, as the Gemara is going to quote, these psukim, which are all put together in Hal, are all quotes from different people that had said the psukim. Amar Mishmul ben Achmini, Amar B'yinisin. This that we say in Hal, we say, Oidcha ki ani sani, I will give thanks to you because you have answered me. Amar David. That was David who had said that. Even Moasu Habayinim, the stone that was despised by the builder, by the builders, Hoyslerish Pin, it actually became the cornerstone. Amar Yishai, that was Yishai who said that. And that was a reference to his son David, who was the youngest of all the brothers. He was a shepherd, no one thought, and he was the one that was chosen to be the king. So he was the stone that was despised, but he ultimately became the cornerstone. Me'is Hashem Hoysezais, this was from Hashem, and which the pasuk there continues, Nifla'as Beineinu, that it's a wonder in our eyes, which is plural, Amar Echav, that's what the brothers of David said. This is the day that Hashem has made. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said that Shmuel was prophesizing that ultimately, as the pasuk there continues, it says Negila v'nismuchavach, that ultimately the Jewish people will rejoice about this day because David is going to save the Jewish people from their enemies. Ona Hashem hayshiyana, please Hashem save now. Amar Achav, that was what the brothers of David said. Ona Hashem atzlichana, please Hashem bring success now. Amar David, that's what David had said, that he should be successful in his kingship. Baruch haba b'shem Hashem, blessed are those who come in the name of Hashem. Amar Yishai, that's what Yishai said. Beirachnuchem mibeis Hashem, that we bless you from the house of Hashem. Amar Shmuel, that's what Shmuel said. Keil Hashem, Hashem is the God, v'yar lanu, and he enlightens us, he gives us light. Amar Kulon, that is what they all said. Again, these are all the continuation of the Pesukim that's from that Perek and Tehillim, which we say in Hal. Istru Chag, bind the carbon of the Yom to Bavoisim with cords. Amar Shmuel, that was what Shmuel said, and that he was saying, bring Karbanis and Shlomim to rejoice, and that's where the Pesuk there ends, Al Karnas HaMizbeach, to then throw the blood on the corners of the Mizbeach. Keli Ata Vaideka, you're my God, and I will praise you, I will give thanks to you. Amar David, that's what David said. Elikai, our God, Iron Mecca, we will elevate you. Amar Kulon, that's what they all said. Now the Gemara resumes discussing the halachas of Hal. So Tanhasan, we went over there in the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah. Makom Shenagu, a place where the minig is, the custom is, we continue on to Amud Beis, Lichvel, to double, that is to double the Pesukim of Hal, Seyichvel, so then you double the words of the Pesukim of the Hal. Livshit, to say it straight, not to repeat the Pesukim. So Yivshit, then you follow that minig to do it straight. Lavarch Acharav, to make a bracha afterwards. So then Yivarch, make a bracha afterwards. Hakol Kaminik HaMadina. The Mishnah says basically the halachas of these halachas of Hal is all according to the minig, the custom of that location. However, Om Abaye comments regarding that Mishnah. He says, Loishanu El Acharav. We only said that one, it depends on the minig to make a bracha on the Hal or not. It's only regarding a bracha after Hal. Avalafanav, but regarding making a bracha before the Hal, mitzvah. There it's a mitzvah to make a bracha. The Amr Rebbe Yehuda Mishmol, as Rebbe Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Kala mitzvahs mevarach alein, evelas yasin, all mitzvahs, one has to make a bracha before it's done. Now, regarding that statement of Rebbe Yehuda Mishmol, the Gemara asks, my mashmid hai oivr lishna daktumehu. It's a famous phrase that we have to do mitzvahs, we have to make a bracha, oivr las yasin, before you do it. Where do we find that the word oivr means before that it's done? So the Gemara brings three sources. Amr Menachem by Yitzchok, the Chesiva says a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Vayaretz Achimatz derech hakikar, that Achimatz ran through the path of the plains of the area. Vayaver esakushi, and he went before the kushi. So you see, the vayaver means going before. Abaye Amar Mahach, Abaye says from the pasuk in Bereishis, v'hu avar lefneim, that he went in front of them. So you see that it's before. Ikadam Mahach, some say it's from the pasuk in Micha. Vayaver malchem lefneim, that their king went in front of them, before them. V'Hashem Bereishim, Hashem was at the front, again, seeing the vayaver means before him. Tanya, learn the Bryce again regarding what we had quoted from the Mishnah, Masech the Sukkah. Rebbe Kaifa Badvar. Rebbe would repeat some of the psukim in Hal, which was from Baruch Haba, which is after Ana Hashem Mashiach, Ana Hashem Atzlichen, from Baruch Haba, and onward, he would repeat and double each pasuk. Rebbe Elazar ben Prata Maisa Badvar. He added on more than that, other psukim that he would double. My Maisiv, what did he add on? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Maisiv lichvo me'oitcha lamate. He already started doubling from the psukim of oitcha and further on, which Rashbam wants to say the reason was as a sign of honor for Yishai and Shmuel and David and his brothers who, as we quote in Amen Av, they were the ones that said these psukim, so that's why he had doubled those psukim too. So Darsh Rav Avira. Rav Avira had lectured, he expounded, he says, Zimnin amalei mishmei derav, sometimes he said it in the name of Rav, Zimnin amalei mishmei derav Asi, sometimes he said it over the name of Rav Asi. What does this mean in Pasuk in Bereishis, where it says Vayigdal Hayelad Vayigamal, that the child became big? That's a reference to Yitzchak Vayigamal, and he was weaned. So what is that a reference to? So on that, the Gemara says, and this is related to the Pesukim of Hal that we were discussing, which this drush will end with that pasuk. Asir Hakadosh Baruch Hu lasit seuda latzadikim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately make a suda, a festive meal for the righteous people. Which that's the suda that was talking about there in the Pesukim. B'yoyim sheyigmol chazdi lezar shel Yitzchak, on the day when he will finally repay the kindness to the children of Yitzchak. So when it's saying v'yigdal hayeled, it means we're talking about a reference to the suda of the children of Yitzchak. That's the suda that he's going to make. Now la'achar sheyichel meshleisen, after that they're going to eat and drink. So neisim loylav ramavina keishal bracha lebracha, so they're going to give the keishal bracha to bench, to do Birchas HaMazon, and to make the bracha on the cup of wine. V'aymelehen. And Avraham is going to say, no, I'm not going to bench. And he's not going to do the, he's not going to be the mezamen. He's not going to go ahead and be mitzi everyone with the brachas haziman. Einim avarach, I'm not going to make the bracha, to make the bracha by priyagof. And afterwards, sheyatzim men yishmol, because yishmol came out of me. So, oimer loy, so, and some have the gears, oimer loy, that they tell the Yitzchak, to Yitzchak, to levarach, you go ahead and you make the bracha, the mezamen. He says to them, I can't make the bracha either, because Esav came out of me. So they say to Yaakov, you go ahead and you take and you make the bracha. He says, I can't make the bracha, because I married two sisters when they were both alive. That's Rachel and Leah. Shasi the Torah la'asra la, which the Torah ultimately was going to make forbidden for me. And therefore, I can't make the bracha. So they go ahead and tell Moshe, you go ahead and make the bracha. He says to them, no, I can't make the bracha. I didn't merit to go into Eretz Yisrael. Not when I was alive, and not when I was dead, because he was buried opposite Beis Par, which, and even his bones didn't merit to go into Eretz Yisrael, like we find by Yosef, that at least Yosef, his bones, merited to go into Eretz Yisrael and be buried over there. So I'm a little Yeshua to levar. So they tell Yeshua, you go ahead and you make the bracha. He says, I can't make the bracha, because I didn't merit to have a son. The Chassid like says in the Pasuk, Yeshua ben Nun, says Yeshua the son of Nun, with the Pasuk in Divrei Yom Alf says, Nun benoi, Yeshua benoi, that Nun, his son, which is going through the lineage of the family of Ephraim, in Divrei Yom, up until Yeshua, and then it says Yeshua his son, and we don't find anywhere where it says a son of Yehoshua. So I'm Leila David to Levach, so they go ahead and they tell David, you go ahead and you make the bracha. I'm Lehan, so he tells them, Ani Avarch, yes, I will go ahead and I will make the bracha by Birchas HaMazon. V'li Nalavarch, and for me it's fitting to make the bracha. Shnei Malkit says the pasuk in Tehillim, which we quote in Howl, Kais Yeshua is Esa, the cup of salvation I will lift up, U'b'shem Hashem Ekra, and I will call out in the name of Hashem. And therefore David HaMelech is the one that in that Suda, Gamal HaYeled, then when the Hashem will be Gamal Chesed to the children of Yitzchak, it will be David HaMelech that will be Mezamen and make the bracha on the cup of wine, the Kishal bracha by the Birchas HaMazon. Nothing more continues discussing the Mishnayos of the Seder of the night of Pesach, and we're towards the end of the Seder, with the end of Shulchan Aruch, which is when we come up to Tzafen, which we spoke about Beirch and Hal, and now the Gemara is talking about the Tzafen. Ein Maftirin. one does not conclude, does not leave. It's a lashon of al yifta adam mechaveri. One does not leave from the meal achra pesach, after eating the korban pesach, afi koimin. And in other words, what that means is you do not conclude after you already ate the korban pesach with afi koimin. The Gemara is going to explain what is this afi koimin that's forbidden to have after the korban pesach was eaten. So now the Gemara explains my afi koimin. What is this afi koimin that's forbidden to end off the Seder night after you already had the korban pesach? So this is machlekes. Amar Rav. Rav says shli ekru mechabru lechabur, that you should not remove yourself, to uproot yourself from one group and then to afterwards go into another group. And that is, once someone ate the Korban Pesach in one group, he's not allowed to go to another group to eat, not only not the Korban Pesach, but even bread or any other thing. And that's a gezeira, because you might come to eat the Korban Pesach in two different places. And that we learned the Stam Mishnah already on Daf Pevov Medav, that the Korban Pesach could be eaten by two different groups. It could be split into two different groups. But one person cannot eat his Korban Pesach in two different places. However, Rav holds that in the original place where you did eat, you could eat after the Korban Pesach, as long as you don't go ahead and eat it in another group. It's because if you're going to eat anything else in another group, we're concerned you might eat the Korban Pesach in another group, which that is forbidden. And this is where Rav differs with the next opinions the Gemara is going to quote of Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, that they say that nothing is permitted to be eaten after the Korban Pesach, even in the original group. And therefore, according to Rav, the explanation of the word afikoimen is from the term afiku, take out, manaichi, your vessels, and that is, take out your vessels from here and let's go ahead and eat somewhere else. With that is forbidden. So imaftirin achar pesach, you can't leave after you eat the Korban Pesach, afikoimen, to take out your vessels and eat somewhere else, because even dessert or whatever it is, you might come to eat the Korban Pesach in another place, which that's asr to eat in another chabur. Ushmul amar, however, Shmuel says, he says the this isser is kagoin urdiloili, which is that Shmuel liked to eat for dessert truffles and mushrooms. So he said, for me it would be a reference to mushrooms, because laila abba, and for Rav, which abba was honorific for Rav, who liked eating young pigeons for dessert, that is what the reference of this isser is. And that is, according to Shmuel, the term afikoimen is afiku, take out and bring mun, which is mine, different types of sweet things of dessert. And what Shmuel was coming to say, not only is it forbidden, like Rav said, that you're not allowed to go ahead and go from one group to eat something else in another group, but even in the group where you were eating, it's forbidden to eat anything after the Korban Pesach. And that's for two reasons. One is that one should not lose the taste of the Korban Pesach, and also because the halacha is, and this is regarding any carbon, that it should be eaten al hasayva, when one is satiated, as the pasuk says in Bamidbar Yudches, it should be eaten lamashcha, which means l'gdula, for greatness, like the way kings eat. And if you're still eating after you ate it, it means that you weren't satisfied yet, and that's not how the royalty eat. And therefore, one should not eat anything, even in the same group where he was, to eat something else. So that's, Rav says, not to eat somewhere else. Afiku menaychu, don't take out your vessels to eat somewhere else, but you could eat there. Shmuel says you can't even eat where you are. It means afiku mine metika, bring out different types of dessert, that even that is forbidden. Rav Chanina bar Shila, Rabbi Yechanan Amar, they say it's kagan tamar, for example, like dates, kaloyis, roasted grain, ve'egoizim, and walnuts, which Rashbam explains that Rabbi Yechanan really holds like Shmuel. It's just that that was customarily what he ate, what they ate for dessert, so they use those references. But the idea is the same as Shmuel, that one cannot eat anything after the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, Tanik HaVaseid Rabbi Yechanan, we learned similarly like in the Brayse, like Rabbi Yechanan, Ein maftir nachar Pesach, one cannot conclude his Seder after the Pesach. Kugain, for example, what does it mean that he can't have after the Korban Pesach? Tamarim kaloyes v'agoizim, dates, roasted grain, and agoizim. So that's what it means, that afikoimen is forbidden after the Korban Pesach is eaten. And that's because you can't eat anything afterwards, because you want to remain with the taste of the Korban Pesach. So related to this, Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, he says, Eimaftirin achar matzah afikoimen. One cannot go ahead and eat anything after the matzah to have afikoimen after that. And that is, one has to eat matzah at the end of his meal, which is a zecher for the matzah that was eaten with the Korban Pesach together, which was al eaten al matzah meroyim yachluhu. And this is, as Rashbam explains, what with the matzah that we break by yachatz and we hide it away. That's what's called tzofen, which we eat, which we call afikoimen, which essentially the term in the Mishnah is afikoimen is what's forbidden. But we call it afikaimen, which is what we eat at the end for our obligation for the matzah that we're mechuyiv in. And that is, as Rosh Mam explains, that by default, we have to make a bracha al chilas matzah on the first matzah that we eat in the beginning of the meal, although we're not eating it for the chiyav of the matzah that we're supposed to eat that night. As we had quoted on the previous Gemara, what Rav Chisda said regarding Mar, that because once you filled up your stomach, if let's say you have no other vegetable for karpas, so you eat the Mar for the karpas, how can you go ahead and make a bracha on it later by Mar? So you have to make the bracha on it originally. Here also he says regarding matzah, although the matzah of Kezayis matzah is really the one we eat by tzafen after the meal, however, we make a bracha on it originally when we do Maitzi matzah. However, the real matzah that we're eating as the Kezayis of matzah, which is the zecher for the matzah that was eaten with the Korban Pesach, after that one, you're not allowed to eat anything else, not to forget the taste, just like we had by the Korban Pesach. So that's, again, what we call afikaimen. Again, really, it's not the afikaimen, it's really the matzah. It's what's forbidden after that matzah that's called afikaimen. And that is, he's saying that not only there's a forbidden after Korban Pesach, it's also forbidden even today with the matzah that we eat as the zecher of the Korban Pesach, one cannot eat anything after that. And that the Gemara asks, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Ein maftirin achar Pesach afikaimen. It says, you're not allowed to eat after the Korban Pesach an afikaimen, which means either desserts or eating somewhere else. But the inference is, achar Pesach hu delay, it's only when, after the Korban Pesach that you can't eat anything. In other words, what that means is, when there is a Korban Pesach, then you can't eat the afikaimen, again, which means desserts and other things, after the Korban Pesach and the matzah that comes with that. Avala achar matzah, but when there's only matzah, which is today without a Korban Pesach, it sounds like maftirin, that you could go ahead and eat other things afterwards. So how could Shmuel say that it's forbidden even today? And then the Gemara says, no, it's not difficult for our Mishnah, because lo miboye kama. A Mishnah was saying that even a bigger chiddush, but for sure matzah, you can't eat anything afterwards. Because lo miboye achar matzah, I wouldn't have to tell you that after matzah, you can't eat anything afterwards, which is the kezayis of matzah, which again is a zecher for the Korban Pesach that it was eaten with, to lay nefesh tamayu, because there's not so much taste in matzah, and you lose it very quickly if you eat anything afterwards, so for sure, ein maftirin, achar ha-matzah afikim. Aval achar ha-pesach, de nefesh tamayu, v'lay matzi ibure. But the Korban Pesach is a good piece of meat, it has a lot of flavor, it's not easily, you don't lose that so easily. So then I would think, less lamba, that there's no problem, that you could even eat desserts after that, and you'll still have the taste. Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, that even there one cannot be mafter achar ha-pesach avikamen. But most definitely it's like Shmuel, that even after the matzah, for sure one cannot go ahead and eat afterwards. So not the Gemara wants to say, name is ayele. Actually, let's support what Shmuel said, that the same thing applies to matzah from the following braisa. The braisa says, hasuf ganin, which are these types of wafers that are made like sponge-like. And because the dough is very soft, so it doesn't have halacha like bread. And we need to have bread, as the pasuk calls matzah, lechem oini. It's more this like spongy type of thing. And similarly, v'hatuv shanin, the matzah that's fried with oil and honey, and therefore it's not lechem oini, rather it's lechem usher, it's like the wealthy. V'hezkaritin is similarly regarding this wafer type of matzah. So the halacha is regarding these three types, adam and malik kresim hem. You can fill your stomach up with them the Seder night. There's no isser on eating them. However, you're not fulfilling your kezayis matzah with them. And therefore, as long as you eat a kezayis of, quote, matzah, which is lechem ayni, which is not this spongy type, it's not with honey, rather it's with flour and water, as long as you eat a kezayis of that at the end, that's okay. So on that, the diak is bachreinin, that this has to be the last thing you eat. And we continue on top of kovchav amar alf, but b'rishayin alai, it cannot be the first thing that you eat. In other words, a person cannot eat anything after he eats the kezayis of matzah, which is the chayva, which is exactly what Shmuel's halacha was. That essentially the kezayis of matzah that we're supposed to eat to say tonight, although we eat in the beginning and we make a bracha, that's because we have no other choice, because we can't make the bracha later after we already ate it before when we ate the meal. But that kezayis of matzah is the one that we eat by tzafen, which we commonly call afikaimen. So you see, you can't have anything afterwards. It has to be b'achreina. And then the Gemara says no. It's not a raya to Shmuel. Lay me bayu kama. It's saying in a way that I wouldn't have to say. In other words, lay me bayu b'rishayna, that of course that could be the kezayis of matzah that you're eating for the Seder night, that you could fulfill it with the first matzah you're eating, and then of course you could eat it afterwards, as we're saying, that's not a raya to Shmuel. Maybe you could be mafter achar hamatzah afikayman. Because the ka'ach liti oven, that matzah, you're still hungry, you didn't fill your stomach up, you're eating it with an appetite, that for sure you can fulfill your chiv of matzah with the first one. But if it's the last matzah eating, as people could tell by themselves when they're finally eating the afikayman, you would think that maybe that's already considered excessive consumption. You're not going to fulfill your chiv with that matzah. And therefore, I would think that to the contrary, that would not be good for your chiv of the kazayas matzah. A malay, I would think it's not good. Kamash malon, to the contrary, that's the chiddush of the braisa, that even b'achreina, that you could fill with that, but again, it's not a raya to Shmuel, because to the contrary, maybe the first matzah is even better, because then you're eating with an appetite, and you could eat afterwards, because there is no problem of in maftir and achar ha-matzah avikayman. It's only not to be maftir achar ha-pesach avikayman. And this says, as long as you eat a gazayas b'achreina, we're saying that you could even eat the gazayas of matzah, which is again flour and water, even b'achreina, and it's not a problem, it's not a concern of achila gasa, and you fulfill your chiv with that gazayas too.